evaluate our life and it looks real bad and we don't like to hear about sin. We don't like to hear about the things we need to get out of our life. We just like those fluffy sermons that make us feel good about ourselves. You know, that's not where we need to be. We need to hear those sermons that really cut down to the heart. And this is what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 3. First two and a half chapters now, we're going into chapter 3. And he begins to tell us about the result and the hope that is in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to chapter 3 of book of Romans. God is faithful in all situations. Title of our sermon, God is faithful in all situations. A spiritual diagnosis of self. Always remember that God's character is one who upholds his people and promises, not our faithfulness. We see this in Romans chapter 3. So we begin reading. Now remember, Paul is addressing this to the Jewish Christians, and man, he's nailing pretty hard on them for the first 2.5 chapters, and he's telling them what their problem is, and he adds a little bit more to that into chapter 3, and wow. Then he gives a good, not only diagnosis, but a cure. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, what advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge, talking of God. But if unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? Now, Paul's asking some questions here. What is God, that God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I'm using human argument here, Paul says. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I so condemned? Why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderers claim, that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Their condemnation is just. Verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, ruin, and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. In other words, your good works won't declare you righteous. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus. I'd underline that. To all who believe. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as the sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, the Gentiles too, since there is only one God who would justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you for your greatness. God, we thank you for your goodness. Father, as we hear this message this morning, Lord, let it penetrate to our very hearts, moved by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. There are three truths we want to find in this passage this morning, this long passage that we read, but boy, it's some good stuff. Paul, at the very beginning of this chapter, really nails a few things about the Jews and how them holding on, and this is Jewish Christians, holding on to the law. They thought they were a little bit better than everybody else, the Gentiles. And listen, church, sometimes we can do the same thing. Sometimes we think we're a little bit better than other people, and we're not. Three truths that Paul brings out. The first truth is this, that God remains faithful to his covenant. God remains faithful to his covenant. God upholds his promises and remains faithful to those with whom he is in covenant, regardless of their faithfulness to him. Regardless of whether they are faithful back to God, God is still faithful. We see in verse 3 and 4, what if some were unfaithful? The question asked by Paul. Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proven right when you speak and prevail when you judged. Paul speaks to the Jews about their chosen status for God to work through them. See verse 1, he says, what advantage do you have? Much in every way. Why? Because you were given God's word. You were given the Old Testament. The Jews were descendants of Abraham, selected by God based on Abraham's faith. Listen, they had advantage over the rest of the world. God had given them the law. He had given them the Old Testament. Why did God focus so much on the Jews? Because he wanted a lineage of people for the Messiah to be born, to go throughout the world, to save those who were lost. The Jews were supposed to go throughout the world with the message that they had about the coming Messiah so that those in the world would believe. But did they? No. No. They kept it all for themselves. They kept the law, and everyone else was neglected. They had no right to boast because they didn't follow God's plan. See, God's plan called for the message of the Messiah, Jesus, to be spread so that sinners may be saved. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, says, God, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. And the Jews knew that the Messiah was coming and that he was the only one to reach to God. And they said, no way, pagan world, we don't want anything to do with you. See, church, when we're not about doing missions to spread the word of God, then we're just as guilty as the Jews were. God's plan is for the Jews to take the love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness forward. So with the Messiah coming to this lost world, however, they didn't follow God's plan. Instead, they kept everything for themselves. because of their unfaithfulness. Most of the Jews did not even recognize or acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. The Jews were not faithful. Paul says this in verse 3. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. God made a covenant with Abraham. And God did just that. He upheld his end of the covenant. In a covenant, there's at least 2 to 3 people. 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever in this covenant. God made a covenant with the Jews. He made it with Abraham and all of his descendants through Jacob and Isaac. All of them. God upheld his end of the covenant. God is faithful all the time in every situation, even when we are not. See, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God made a covenant. He made a promise. He upholds his promise for all eternity, even when we can't. See, we're saved and held and sustained our salvation by the character of God, not ours. There are a lot of who have false beliefs that we can lose our salvation. No, we didn't save ourselves. God saved us through Jesus Christ. He upholds the covenant. When he says in John 10 that I hold you in my hand, he means it. We see from verse 5 to verse 8, Paul addresses this argument of belief. There were some false teachings going around among the Jewish believers that, well, if God was righteous and God is faithful, the more that we sin, the better God looks. The more that we do, we can go out and do whatever we want to do. Why? Because the more that we do, the more sin, the more unrighteous that we do, the better God looks, because his faithfulness shows even more. His glory shows even more. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? See, we are not to take advantage of God's grace and God's faithfulness. We do not have permission to be unfaithful to God, because his grace covers us. No, his grace is so sweet that our hearts are to chase after him. See, when we are lost, God chases after us. He touches us by his Holy Spirit, regenerates us. We respond in faith and repentance, and we begin to follow and chase after him. We don't have permission to trample over God's grace. God brings us life in our existence and forgiveness for our sins. He brings us purpose for living in eternity with him. It was once said that all of your days have already been written in God's book. When you go through disappointment, don't stop on that page. Stay the course. Keep believing. You may be tired. You may be discouraged and frustrated, but don't give up on your future. Why? Because our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. So Paul tells him all about these things that's going on in our life in the first 2.5 chapters. Then he says, remember this, Christians, that God is faithful all the time. Even though you have failed him, God is still faithful to his covenant. Why is God so faithful? Because God is God. He cannot tell a lie, and his faithfulness brings us back in an attraction. We see him and we want what he has. The second truth is this: the power of sin reigned in all people. Sin gripped every person and brought destruction to their lives and damnation to eternal souls. We see in verse 9 and 10 of Romans 3, it says, well then, what shall we conclude? That the Jews are better than others? Paul begins to knock them down a little bit. Now, listen, we can say this. What should we conclude? Christians, are we better than others? What should we conclude? Baptists, that we're better than others? What can we conclude? Catholic, that we're better than others? What can we conclude? Pentecostal, are we better than others? What can we conclude? Methodist, are we better than others? Crap them all together and say, what can we conclude? Christians, are we better than others? Paul says, no. Not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jew or Gentile, Gentiles or the rest of us, are under the power of sin, as the scripture says, no one is righteous, no, not one. The Jews who thought they were better than others because they were God's chosen people were being taken to school by Apostle Paul about their sinful condition. The Jewish Christians believed that they were still better than the Gentile Christians. Paul knocks them down aside, verse 4. He said, what should we conclude? That we Jews are better than others? Not at all. All people are under the power of sin. Romans 3, verse 23 comes back and reaffirms what he says earlier in verse 4. In verse 9, I'm sorry. He says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. How would you like to have this idea about yourself and then someone come back and say, you're wrong? And that's what Paul is doing. These Jewish Christians had this idea that because God had showed favor upon Abraham, their forefather, and had favor upon them, that they were somehow better than those Gentile Christians who were eating cracklings and bacon and pork chops and boudin, all that stuff. That somehow they were at more favor with God than Paul says. No, you're not. You're just as big a sinner as they are. You need Jesus. You're no better. Church, today we may never think or believe ourselves to be better than others. The only difference and Christians and the lost world is the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. We're all sinners saved by grace. We have no room for judging others because we are guilty of doing the same sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Verse 4 in that same chapter says, but God, rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of your works, so that no one can boast. Boy, Paul hits it hard in Ephesians. Paul says that we were all spiritually dead because of the power of sin that was over us. But the Holy Spirit regenerated us. He made us spiritually alive in Christ Jesus. Church, the only thing we can boast in is Christ and him crucified, resurrected from the dead, sitting on the right hand in the power of God. May the work Jesus Christ has done in our lives inspire us, compel us, motivate us to share our story, share our testimony, our Jesus, with those who are still under the power of sin. May that what Christ has done in us motivate us to share our faith. We're no better than the homeless man sleeping on the steps of First Baptist Church Ville Platte this week. No better. Jesus is the only one that has made the difference. Thomas Fuller said, let us stop the progress of sin in our soul at the first stage. For the farther it goes, the faster it will increase, and the stronger hold it gets in our life. The power of sin, The only difference is Jesus in our lives. The third truth is this: Jesus overcame the power of sin. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus defeated the power of sin and makes righteous all who call upon him in faith and repentance. Verse 22 through 24 of Romans chapter 3 says this righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came in Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Paul mentions the Jews breaking the covenant with God, yet God remained faithful. He further acknowledges that the Jews and the Gentiles alike were all under the power of sin in verse 9. In verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Listen, we can't understand that enough. We cannot whitewash the sin that's been in our life. We can't just say, "Well, that's that gray area, you know." No, when you're following Christ, the Holy Spirit points it out into your life. And what are we to do? Repent. Repent. Listen, you don't hear that enough from pulpits. There's too many pastors wanting everybody to find favor with them and buy their books and be happy and just pat them on the back. You know what they're doing? They're patting people on the back on their way to hell. That's what they're doing. Rather than getting honest, as Paul did, and says, "Listen, we're no better. We've all sinned. And we need redemption. We need salvation. We need to be forgiven. We need a Savior. God is faithful to save the world from sin. The only one with the ability to overpower and defeat sin was Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. Sin had to be paid for by one who is worthy. If not, then we all have to pay the consequences of the sin in our life. A.C. Dixon said this: is through the death of Christ on the cross, making atonement for sin, we get a perfect standing before God. That is justification. And it put us in God's sight back before Eden, before sin entered the world. God looks upon us and treats us as we would never sin. See, apart from God, we'll spend eternity without hope of relief or rescue in a place called hell. That's what awaits all who reject Jesus. Jesus made an atonement for our sin. You know what atonement means? It means that through Jesus' death and resurrection, the sinner is reconciled back to God. In other words, our relationship with God had been broken, and because of what Jesus done, he pulled us back into relationship with God. That's atonement. Our sins had been paid for in full, what Calvary's cross and Jesus did on that cross. Salvation is a gift of God through his grace to all who will accept Jesus through faith in him by repenting of their sin. When we accept Jesus, then we are justified. What is that big word, justified? Why do we keep hearing that word? Why? Because the Ten Commandments that God had given, that's law. That's the law. When you break the law, it is a legal problem now that you have with God. So you have to go before the judge and be declared guilty or innocent. You must find justice. We're all guilty of breaking the law. We're all guilty of lying or cheating or stealing something. We're all guilty. But when we come to Christ Jesus, because of what he did on the cross for us, he makes us justified before God. When we say yes to Jesus, we repent of our sins and faith to him. Say, "Yes, you are who you are, who you say you are, Jesus." We claim what Jesus did in our behalf as our own, and now we're just with God. There's no longer any charges against us. Our debt has been paid in full. God adopts us into his family. We're immediately born again into spiritual birth to be adopted by God as his child. As a child of God, we're made righteous. That means we're in right standing with God. Why? Not because of how good we are, not because of all the good works, but because of what Jesus has done for us and changed and transformed our lives. All of our good deeds and religious activities, trying to follow the Ten Commandments, cannot make us in right standing with God. Only Jesus can save us. The Holy Spirit is dealing with someone this morning, I know, about your lost condition. He's dealing with you about sin in your life. You've been religious for long enough. You've sat in church pews and church seats for long enough. But God is calling you to a relationship with his son Jesus. He wants to have that intimate relationship with you through Christ Jesus. He wants to know you as his child. John Mott said this: the necessary precursor of any great spiritual awakening is a spirit of deep humiliation, growing out of a consciousness of sin and a fresh revelation of the holiness and the power of God. What about it, Christian? Do you have things in your life that God doesn't want there? Is there some things going on in you that God is saying, listen, you need to get this stuff out. You need to sweep it clean. The Holy Spirit will do it. When you say go, get it, Lord. I need this out. What about it? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Oh, may today be that day that you accept him. Say, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. That green sheet of paper that you have in your bulletin, on that it says, I accepted Christ today. Whatever God is dealing with you, you just check that off. We're going to call you during the week, and you just come down and sit down at the table with me. Let's go through God's word. I want you to have the foundation of God's word that he saved your soul and you're changed for all eternity today. Maybe you need to say a prayer similar to this as I pray with you. If you need Jesus, your Savior, this is the opportunity. Open your heart up and just connect with God by faith. Let me lead you. Father God, Lord, I come with some people today who need you. Father, there's someone here that needs to put their faith in you. As I lead them, Lord, may you hear their prayer. If you need to accept Jesus, pray something like this. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe 3 days later you resurrected from the tomb. I invite you into my life today. I'm your disciple. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul and taking me to heaven when I die. Fill me with your peace. Help me to grow. And Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen today, if you